Ritzy.
Guess what, Carmine?
What's going on?
After 3 years of doing this series together, we have finally found a super duper technical woman.
All right.
This is Xingyang. Xingyang.
Yeah, Xingwang.
Yes.
Xingwang.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're very excited. Actually, Charles actually did his homework for the first time ever. I've never done mine.
You're not supposed to tell.
And he thought about some questions that he wants to ask of you today because we're really excited to have someone that's so highly technical on the show. So tell us a little bit about your job. What do you do?
I'm a developer on the search team. We build tools for the other search teams to improve the relevance of searching results. And to build a small kind of gadgets for the search stuff.
Okay. So, hey, Charles, can you hear her okay? She's a very soft talker.
Yes, I think I wish we had a microphone.
I can talk louder.
That's good.
Should we have her?
Yes.
Even though
scream at her.
Maybe we usually have people look at us who ask the questions.
Yes.
I think maybe you should look more at Charles just to keep your mouth focused that way towards the camera.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
This is Ritzy, the expert.
I'm giving direction.
Amazing.
Okay, cool. So you're a developer on the search team. You said more than that, but.
Yes.
So, what do you do every day? What does that actually mean?
Kind of like every day, kind of I evaluate algorithms, I design some softwares, I implement the softwares. So, and I work with my team members and other team members because we're here at Microsoft, we have a big lot of research resources. So, I collaborate with people on Microsoft research, in Microsoft research, and some of them are here in Redmond, some of them are in Cambridge, some of them in Silicon Valley. So, I collaborate with them and try to convert their most recent research results into what we can use in the product.
Excellent. So this is like the machine learning folks in Cambridge and
Building
99.
Building 99, and also there, some of them are down here in this building because they move over to the search team already themselves.
Cool.
Some of them in Silicon Valley. And so
that's great. So you're a doctor. You have a PhD.
Yeah, I have a PhD
in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
So tell that's fabulous. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's kind of like when I was in college, so I decided to take a degree in computer science advanced, and I asked people, what's the most difficult? And they say, oh, artificial intelligence is the most difficult. And that sounds cool.
Interesting.
So I just go for it, yeah. It's very interesting, actually. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a big sci-fi fan. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I watched a lot of sci-fi movies and read a lot of sci-fi novels. So it's kind of like something you go naturally if you like robots and space travel, stuff like that.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Very cool. I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, in some sense, and I've talked to the machine learning people about this before in Cambridge on Channel 9. People can go watch that. But in some sense, artificial intelligence seems kind of impossible. In the sense that we think of intelligence, like humans, what's your thinking on that? I mean, what's the difference between like what you did for your thesis and machine learning?
I think it's kind of like, I think artificial intelligence is kind of like a belief, and it's kind of like a dream. That's why I think I like Microsoft better than other companies because you know like. I think like Bill Gates, he himself, he believes in artificial intelligence. So that's why we have so many researchers working on stuff, which probably sounds a little bit unrealistic to the other people out there. We're working on some neural interface stuff, and we're working on sensors stuff, and we're working on very intelligent user interface. So this probably sounds very sci-fi-like, very not realistic to most people. But it's kind of something you dream about, right? If you don't have the dream, you don't have the vision, you never move that far. And I think that's the difference between people who are from the area in AI or who are from more realistic areas like a database, you know. Yeah. People have different vision and they have different things. And I think for search, it's kind of artificial intelligence is different. That is different from what we see on the movie or in Star Trek. Even though we kind of like getting able to do a lot of things that were shown on the and the TV series, but it's still a little bit different here. Like, it's not magic. It's basically you have a lot of data, you process the data, or even if you don't have a lot of data, you use a way to try to simulate and generate data. Mm-hmm. Then using simulation and the generation results, you're trying to make predictions. You're trying to find the best way to do things. So that's basically what machine learning and artificial intelligence about these days. And I think it's kind of a little bit of different. It's like here, what we work on. I think the best thing about Microsoft, what we're working on, I'm not sure whether this is okay to say, but I think it's okay. It's kind of Microsoft has a big belief in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, so there are people who, for the search outside, they have the what we call the page ranking algorithm, which is basically the basis of everything Google builds on. And that's what basically builds on, like, people who, how they recommend things to each other from people's behaviors. So you'll have, like, billions of users, and the search results are going to converge to a very good result for everybody. But Microsoft, we also believe in knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have been kind of stuff like that. So we have the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to find a way to expose this truth to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, has been something very, very big dream for people in AI for a long time, because there are so many people working on expert systems. There are so many people on knowledge systems, knowledge engineering, because people believe there's a way you can model this world, and you can represent this world, and you can you can derive intelligence from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think never it becomes really serious. There are some people down in Silicon Valley who actually have a small startup on that. But you know, you get some money, you burn out of the money, you'll never be able to, $2 million, and never going to bring you to anywhere. And it's not going to give you money right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here in Microsoft, we have the dream to do something like that, to expose that to the world. So
excellent.
Wow.
That's something I think is very special, yeah.
Yeah, very special.
Yeah.
So you decided to get your PhD in artificial intelligence because it was hard and challenging.
Yes.
What is hard and challenging about your job today?
I think it's kind of like hard and challenging is because, like, what I do before, because before I come here, I'm in tablet PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I work on handwriting recognition and recognize the structures of handwriting documents. And here I'm more like recognizing the other stuff related to search. So it's totally different. But the nice thing is, like, I like a place here because there's so many new stuff to learn. Everybody is learning new stuff, and there's new knowledge, new experience, new skills generated every day, and you can learn from people. And it's kind of also a challenge as well, because it's something quite new, and it's not like other areas like tablet PC. Sometimes the growth of knowledge is very slow, because maybe 5 years you make a big breakthrough, or 10 years you make a big breakthrough. And some ideas has been there, like, maybe for 20 years, 30 years. People just keep on working that. Here, like, everything is new, like, the entire structure. And a lot of things we've been thinking about back when I was in school, like, when I was back in school, I have friends who work in the area of parallel computing. It never becomes big, because Intel are building such fast machines, which are a single computer. Who wants parallel computers? And so nobody's going to pay $1 million for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that area basically died when I was in college. So it's kind of a sad thing to see. But nowadays, we have so many data on the web. We need a lot of parallel computing power.
Mm-hmm.
People here are doing real things from the very bottom up
mm-hmm.
to make it happen. So that's very exciting things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, so to really pull off like an artificially intelligent system,
mm-hmm.
it's really going to come down to massive amounts of computation, right?
Yes.
So right. Stefan Wolfram,
yeah.
You know that, he's a famous dude, to say the least, sort of a mathematician kind of. He's the guy who wrote Mathematica,
okay.
Sort of incredible programming language and sort of framework for doing math,
mm-hmm.
Has created this thing he's calling Wolfram Alpha, which is a way to compute knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the computation of knowledge. And so it's going to be like sort of asking how in 2001. That's how we should be able to interact with a computer, right? Hey, Hal, get me a couple tickets to the Mariners game tonight. You know, how cheap is it going to be? What's the price going to be? Sure, Charles. Just a second. Okay, I can get them for $17.50 each. Would you like to get them? Yes. Okay, well, here, give me something. So my point is, it's called like a natural interface with search. Today, for example, like Live Search and Google and whatnot, it's sort of this weird kind of, you know, Mariners tickets, Seattle. The way that you communicate with the machine is so artificial and sort of so machine-like that it's ridiculous. I want to be able to just speak my language like we're talking right now and have the computer be able to compute answers.
I think we're making progress towards that. If you try Live Search right now, uh-huh. You can type in what's the price for something, or you can type in what's the price for converting pound to US dollars. Uh-huh. You can type in something like that, and it's going to give you an answer. Mm-hmm. Even though the answer probably doesn't raise £1 equals to $0.7, mm-hmm. or not $1.3 or $1.5, mm-hmm. it probably just give you a mathematical equation. Mm-hmm. But the result doesn't really is a natural kind of sentence for you, mm-hmm. as you prefer. But if you type in the question like, what is the current rate for dollar? Mm-hmm. What is the current rate for pound? Mm-hmm. It will answer. So we do search to have some sort of interface like that.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. But you still return those cases are a little more simple because they're clearly, they're sort of explicitly
yes, intent.
Computable.
Yes.
Like, you know, there's math and things
yes.
like this. It's the reasoning part that when you, because if you're going to use terms like intelligence is reasoning, right? Experience something and reason about it and build abstract concepts to understand it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think that's interesting. I'm glad that somebody with artificial intelligence is writing code for search. How's that to cut to the chase, Ritzy?
I think cool. It's great. Now I'll ask a non-technical question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about your background. So you're Chinese?
Yes, I'm Chinese.
And you grew up in China?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So basically, I kind of like, I grew up in China. I finished college in China, and I also go to graduate school with a master. So after my master, I came here for PhD. So I got my PhD degree here in the United States, and after graduation, come to work for Microsoft.
Hmm.
Actually, I come to work for Microsoft before my graduation.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And, yeah. And then I worked for 2 years at Microsoft. I finished my, go back to school, finished my defense, and yeah.
So do you, you have this, you know, you have this, all this education and these degrees, is it really important for your job and what you do here, or is it a lot of on-the-job learning as well?
It's still a lot of on-the-job learning because I think this area is growing so fast. There are always new knowledge. Not myself is on the learning. Everybody on the team, even the researchers who are used to be professors at MIT, they're still learning every day. So mm-hmm. everybody is learning. I think that's what's exciting about it because you've got so many new things to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And are you part of Microsoft Research? Is that the group
no,
that you're
no,
in?
No. No, I'm research. In other words, a Microsoft research, but we collaborate with them, so to make sure what they ever have, mm-hmm. going to use it as soon as possible.
So with all of your credentials and all of your, obviously, great intellectual horsepower, what's it like being a woman in high tech and AI?
I think with a woman in AI, I think in high tech it feels nice. Actually, I didn't feel anything wrong here at Microsoft, especially in my old team. There are 3 women and only 2 guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the woman, the main people, and the leader is also a woman. So we're kind of like a woman-dominant, a female-dominant team, and the male suggester to support us. So that feels really nice. Mm-hmm. And in this team, I'm the only woman here in my team, a small team. But it feels like all my colleagues are very supportive. And because I'm new, mm-hmm. and they're trying to help me getting on the bus and trying to help me with learning new stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. But I have very bad experience at college, in engineering school.
Yeah.
I think the professors at engineering school, some of them are so horrible.
this was in China?
No, here.
This here in the U.S.?
Yes. It was, you can't believe that they have, they're so bigots, or they have so biased against women.
Really?
And they think women are stupid, so they made a fun of us in front of the boys. You know, there's like two or three girls in the class, and they made fun of us. But the lucky thing is, I was new. My English was really bad, so I couldn't catch the joke.
Wow.
So they were making fun of me, everybody was laughing. But I didn't have the idea was they were laughing.
Oh no, wow. That's terrible.
Well, you showed them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you got into the program just like the guys did, so.
So, but I think it's kind of like, you know, it's like for many engineering school guys, professors, they have this very big macho thing related to engineering.
Macho.
So yeah, macho. Mm. They're not a very good woman. And I had one professor who was really bad. He basically, he starts teaching classes, and he goes to Iris in front of students and starts scratching his legs. It's even in front of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether because of my culture, but I think everybody can, woman can get really offended because he just comes to you in front of you, put his leg in the chair in front of you and starts scratching his
You better not do that, Charles. So did that make you more determined to be successful and do well?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like there's also like other professors who are really nice and doesn't care about whether you're a woman or not. And if you're a very smart woman, they kind of encourage you and support you. So there are always different kind of people. But I do feel there are some kind of pretty bad. And especially I think because I went to college in China, so actually it's better because I don't have too strong feelings of professor preferring male students or female students. Mm. But here in the States, like at the college, I can feel that, you know, it's always in the electrical engineering department, it's always the boys who, you know, are the best students. And they kind of like, they're the team project leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls are just hanging around and trying to kind of be part of the team instead of leading the team. So it feels very obvious. It's amazing. It's different from what I had experienced in China.
Hmm. Why did you decide to leave China and come to the States for your PhD?
Well, you know, like here, the education is much better than in China. And here is where the research is actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's basically everybody in this world, when they want to pursue advanced studies, they come to the States, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if everyone would agree with that. But
yes. You have some great schools. Right,
yeah,
sure.
we have great schools here. We have great professors,
mm-hmm.
the very talented people here.
Hmm.
So
when you think about Microsoft and the future of Microsoft and what we're working on and things that we can't talk about now on camera, are you excited about the breakthroughs that we're going to be making soon?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I think I'm very excited, and I know it's kind of a team effort, but everybody is working really hard on this, and kind of like, because this is a very new team, we're not like Google has been like 11 years in exist, mm-hmm. or even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think our team is just 3 or 4 years old. But there are a lot of young people here. You can see that it's very vibrant, energy going around, and kind of like you can feel the flow of the energy around people, and people kind of like getting new ideas, people working really hard to make things happen. Yeah, it's very different from my old team in Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Windows like feels more stagnate, a little bit more stagnant. Here you can feel it's very vibrant.
Sure. Well, I mean, search, I mean, if you think about it, regardless of how popular search engines are, they're still really, in some sense, pretty primitive. And even Gates said that in the last interview we did with him on Channel 9, sort of a comment he made. He's kind of like, there's a lot of room for growth in search, and there absolutely is. Because right now, like you were saying, I mean, it's all about calculating relevance and
yes.
Give me like 1,000 links for some little simple search query that I gave you. It can evolve so far beyond
yes,
where it is today.
Yes, I think it's kind of like, this is kind of like a dream, right? Are you just hyped with the relevant thing, people recommending things, sort of recommending things to each other?
Mm-hmm.
No, I search for something, I find a good result, and 10 people search for the same thing, find a good result, and Google kind of recommending the result to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Or you want to do something a little bit more, you know, more intensive, more depth. And I think Microsoft is at a very special position in doing that. I'm really excited about this because the searching actually brings a lot of the dreams in computer science, in AI, to be reality. Like, you know, the natural user interface things, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of a lot of queries would actually like that. Mm-hmm. People are quite, what's the word, quite creative mm-hmm. when they are creating queries. Mm-hmm. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like that. And I think this provides opportunities because before this, natural language processing and interfacing was more like, you know, some sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. And NSF pay a lot of money to fund this research just because they are basic science, they want to support that. Mm-hmm. There's no really demanding applications, there are no money really associated, no revenue, no profit associated with it. But nowadays, research is such a big market and there is money in there, so people actually you have dreams, you have profits, you have investors, so you can help people who actually very actively pursuing them and make them happening. So this is a very good opportunity. I think there are so many smart people in US and so many smart people in the world, and we definitely can make some difference in very short time.
Good.
So something probably we haven't even think about, you know, we dream about when we were in school. We didn't have the scale, the money, or the expertise to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Like nowadays here, I think both here at Microsoft or at Google or at Yahoo mm-hmm. or at Amazon, we all have these big data centers. We kind of like have thousands of machines, clusters, not mm-hmm. thousands, probably hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. And this is something, I think Google probably have millions. This is something unmanageable for when we were back in school doing parallel computing. In those days, like, our school have 64 machine cluster, and we were proud of it. Mm. And we kind of, like, double it, make it 128. Mm. We were very, very proud of that. Nowadays, sure. No, it's just so small. Mm-hmm. Totally different scale.
Absolutely. I mean, the computation power is immense.
Yeah.
Finally
push something to happen. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was, like, nobody actually, you know, just academic interest, people trying to make progress because they are interested in there. But the progress is very slow, maybe like 10 years, you move from 8 processor to 128 processor. But here is like 3 years, you probably scaled from thousands of machines to millions of machines. Everything is about how to scale and how to myself
kind of feel. Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Very interesting.
It's funny that, it's ironic that all these super smart people who are engineers and mathematicians are working to make all this technology really dumbed down, basically. Mm-hmm. So the everyday person just can, in a very layman's way, use it.
Absolutely.
It just strikes me as ironic.
I think it's the reason why Microsoft is success, right? It makes Windows accessible to everybody. And grandma and grandpa can use it, mm-hmm. and that's why it's success. Because if you still keep it as complicated as other systems and Unix, grandma and grandpa can use it. So you always have a very small market. You can change people's life, mm-hmm. right? Everything, the big change we're having here is because we have something as easy to use as Microsoft. And they have other super good products, I think probably. But you need very complicated, very intelligent way to, like LaTeX is probably much more difficult to use than Word. Mm-hmm. It's probably more powerful. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot more people using Word because grandma and grandpa can use them as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice. And if the LaTeX is probably maybe more powerful, but you need to learn language and stuff to use that. So that's kind of like limited to certain audience and... And if you learn it, you like to use it, and it's very good. But it doesn't mean like it's going to change people's life that much. I think if you want to change people's life, you have to make the interface very simple. Mm-hmm. Very dumb. Mm-hmm. It's not dumb.
It's generic. It's generalized.
Yeah, generalized.
Sort of normalized.
Accessible.
For
yeah.
People who aren't specialists.
Which is fine. Yeah. So what were some of those technical questions you wanted to ask? What's the ink thing? Ink Smart?
Good point. So she, I was pointing the camera at Ritzy.
Wrong person.
Your first job at Microsoft was in ink recognition. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Ink recognition, like we used to, Microsoft used to have this product. We still have this product.
We still have it.
Tablet PC.
Yeah.
So basically, kind of like we're trying to give people a new way of interfacing with other people. Mm-hmm. But I think, you can take notes with tablet PC. So in tablet PC, we have journal, Windows Journal. We also have OneNote, which is an Office product. Mm-hmm. And Office, actually, I think we're adding inking features and ink analysis features to all of the most of Windows applications, like Word, so PowerPoint. So basically, so what we do in tablet PC is not just you write on the computer, mm-hmm. it can read your writing, and it's supposed to be smart enough, can both convert your writing to English or to the language you use, and it also can analyze if there's something else on your page which is not writing. Mm-hmm. It's not writing. Mm-hmm. So like if you write something like underline or your words, it should know this is the underline, then you can change the font of the transform the text into font with underline. Mm-hmm. And you also have, you can now, like, they also have this, things like if you have a diagram, like organizational chart, it should be able to recognize the organizational chart. So you have your boxes there, and you have your callout there, stuff like that. So you can see the diagonal, you can see the structure of the document. Mm. So, and I think it's kind of like, it's probably not very, very accurate. It made errors because it's recognition, artificial intelligence based, mm. pattern recognition based. So it's not 100%. Sometimes it's even not 90%, mm. like especially the chart part. But it's still like research ongoing, people getting it better and better. It's amazing how much progress we have made in the past 4 years, 5 years, especially Microsoft has made. Mm-hmm. And I think we're the best expert now in handwriting recognition. That means reading like English, converting English, and converting Chinese. And nowadays, like a couple of weeks ago, I tried out the new Chinese character recognizer for Win 7. It's amazing. It's very good, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Like, when Windows first, tablet PC first came out, I think 2002, right?
Something like that.
Oh, it's not very good. we have got huge distance now. It's very good now. We have different kind of techniques for that. And
I'm sure. I mean, the thing about pattern recognition is the more patterns that the machine can recognize over time, the better it will get at recognizing them.
Yes.
So clearly time has helped those guys make a better product, as well as research into sort of the kind of low-level work that you were doing with actually kind of trying to understand the glyph.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to understand the mark.
Yeah.
And put some reasoning around it.
Yeah, so kind of like I think it's amazing because We have the research here, Microsoft Research, and Tablet PC itself also has a lot of PhD working there.
I'm sure.
And a lot of talented people there, and people are very smart, and they're very passionate about the area, tablet handwriting recognition, so they made a lot of progress in there. It's kind of a pretty unique place to work in Microsoft, because it used to be very research-oriented, and like, but nowadays I think it's still pretty research-oriented, but it's more of a product group right now.
Yeah, the research, Building 99 people are spreading all over the company.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is why we have a Building 99.
Microsoft really invests in R&D, that's awesome.
Yes.
So just looking at your bookshelf, and I see a book that says Sonatas and Other Works for Piano. Do you play the piano?
Little bit, not much.
Huh. So do you miss home?
Yeah, I miss home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a strong Chinese community here at Microsoft?
Yeah, a lot of people here. It's amazing. We also have a very strong Chinese community at Search, I think.
Yeah? Really? Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think it's kind of like, nowadays we have a lot of Chinese students coming over to the United States to study.
Yeah.
You look at the computer science department, like maybe like one third sometimes or half students are Chinese students. And it's naturally when they graduate, you have more and more young people in the graduate school, graduates are Chinese. So it's kind of like a Microsoft that's like hiring young people.
I guess so. It's smart, I mean, because young people don't have what comes with age and wisdom, which is sort of like, I don't know, what is it? Negativity and angst and, you know, bitterness?
Sarcasm, cynicism, jaded.
I think you need people of both kinds to make things
work. I think so, too.
Agreed.
It takes all types.
It takes all types.
And then we more accurately reflect our customer base that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's true.
That's right.
Perfect.
Well, thank you very much. This is part of Women's History Month, and so it's great to have someone from China and
Absolutely.
With a PhD in AI. That's
fascinating.
Amazing.
It really is. Working on search.
It's very admirable. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
There are actually technical women at Microsoft. We have
of
proof
course
right
there are.
Here.
So we're joking. We know there's plenty of
There are.
Yes.
Yeah. It's easier to find those, some of the more non-technical women, but someone hardcore like you, it's a treat.
I think there are a lot of people, actually. I think they're probably just too busy. Because
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.